Podcasting 2.0 for August 14th, 2026, episode 267. Choco Love. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Is this a podcast? Are we back? Do we exist? Is it really happening? Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. It is Friday, August 14th. It's time to talk about podcasting from the people who make it for you. The people who come together and make it better for you. Yes, this is the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. In fact, we are the only boardroom without a skip button. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. The man who took the DHT out and left the plumbing quieter than he found it. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Dave Jones.
Yeah, no more DHT.
Yeah, DHT is gone,
baby. It's problematic. It's problematic.
Problematic. My favorite woke word. Of woke one, by the way. It's a thing now.
We adopted it. It's now part of the Podcast Index lexicon.
Problematic?
But there's an API endpoint called that reports problematic feeds.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Problematic. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Problematical, if you want to go really, you know,
so we might as well start, pedantic. We might as well start with that. With your yes. Your Podping V0.12.0 shipped.
Yeah. Lots of work on Podping over the last few weeks. I'm trying to get it to the point where I don't have to think about it for a while.
Oh boy. Well, isn't that basically nothing? As a little aside. So okay. we combined our Linode nodes so that a number of servers I was running, you've moved over for that Godcaster stuff. And then you beautifully made me an admin on the podcast index stuff.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. is, you know, only for emergency purposes. But then I realized you are exactly the same as me. Neither one of us have taken any effort to suppress the Linode warnings of exceeding all kinds of things.
Oh, no. I'm never going to touch that button.
It's like all of a sudden, every morning, there's 50 different, it's exceeded the egress bandwidth. Oh, this server was spiking for 5 minutes. Oh, now this is not a problem. I'm just warning you about it.
Thanks. Yeah, showrunner. Yeah. Whatever that is.
Are you getting showrunner alerts?
Oh, yeah, showrunner's wearing me out.
How come you're... Oh, because I made you an admin.
Yeah. Sure. But you know what? I don't read my email anyway, so it all just kind of goes in the... It doesn't really matter.
Showrunner's out of control.
Yeah, showrunner's lost his mind, no. But it's fine. It's fine.
Showrunner is my show prep bot.
Where's the latest one here? It's daily.
But it's multiple times a day. Showrunner goes, you know, showrunner is the box where I say, hey, robot, go listen to that Tucker Carlson interview and tell me what's in it and see if I want any clips from it. So
Okay.
But then what it does is it, because of course it's YouTube, so showrunner... is connected to the VPN on my home router so that it doesn't get blocked.
Okay.
Which was a fun project. You know, these routers, you can set up a VPN on the router itself. I didn't even know that was possible.
How do you do that?
It's a function of the router. The router lets you set up different forms of VPNs.
What kind of router is this that we're talking about?
Good question. It's the TP-Link, I think. Fiber here. I got 5 gigs up and down. Uh-huh. And then it uh-huh. has this crazy-looking spaceship-type router with 8 antennas sticking up on it. And that thing can do all kinds of stuff.
This reminds me of the Nighthawk. You know that router?
No, I need one though. I need one right now.
That's good. Just for the name. It's what is the Asus? Night. Yeah, the Asus Nighthawk AC 1900. It's even got AC in the name of it. Which I don't. Just as a quick aside, I did not pull a clip, and this is on me. I admit it. I should have pulled a clip of this.
Yeah.
But you said a few weeks ago, I caught it and it didn't hit me until like an hour later.
Okay.
You made the statement in the boardroom.
This already sounds bad. Am I going to get arrested for something? Or
maybe.
Okay.
You made the statement. You said, blah, blah, blah. I was loading the dishwasher, dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. Since when did you get a dishwasher and start using it? This has always been your thing, is never use the dishwasher because you're doing the work twice.
Are you married?
Yes.
Do you argue with your wife about everything?
You're off the reservation. I'm concerned. I thought this was a hill you were going to die on.
Well, you know, since I lost my podcast gig, I'm just kind of trying to be calm in the house and do whatever I'm asked.
Okay. I will let this pass.
I have the Archer AXE 300 quad band 16 stream Wi-Fi 6E router with two 10G ports.
Wi-Fi is out of control. This is the number of like versions. Acronyms. Yeah.
It reminds me of the old days, and I was on with Darren and Larry yesterday on the show, and I made them guess the modem speeds from the old dial-up modems. I had the 300 baud, the 1200, 24, 33.
I had a 56.
No, not a 50. Yeah. I had a 56.
I thought it was a 6. I thought it was a 28 and a
28. Yeah, 28,
right,
8. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. 14.4, 28, 8, 56.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was cursing Dvorak for dying on us because he would have known exactly, because there were wars going on. You had the Hayes modems and you had the, not Rockwell. US Robotics.
US Robotics.
And they had wars over V90, V91 compression schemes. And it's kind of reminiscent of what's happening with Wi-Fi. It's like, you know, we got this version now. And you've got the 6G and all these different protocols that are just popping up everywhere.
Yeah, the old dial-up modem protocol wars.
Yeah.
The different compression rate. Yeah. You could not mix and match. No. One, they wouldn't work. It was like Blu-ray versus HD, exactly. DVD or something.
Yeah. VHS versus Betamax. It's always thing. It's always a thing. Yeah. So anyway, so Showrunner is doing that. Showrunner is doing all that kind of stuff all day long when I give it a command or go out and find stuff. And so, so you're getting lots of bandwidth warnings on that one.
Yeah, that's fine. I just ignore them. I mean, I've been getting bandwidth or CPU warnings on the database server for Podcast Index for like 4 years.
Those are fun to see. It's spiking.
After about, you get concerned the first few weeks, and then it's like, I don't care. Nothing blows up. Nothing ever goes bad. So
okay,
it's fine.
So back to Podping. Now, is this...
Oh, yeah.
Is this the... Well, you don't sound very excited.
Oh, yeah. I just forgot where we were.
Oh, yeah. So these are Podping Watcher nodes? Is that what we're running here? Podking Watcher?
Do you have any websites pulled up? Like the PP monitor?
No, I don't. I don't have my PP up.
You had get your PP up.
Let me get my PP up. Okay. PP monitor? Podcastindex.org. Yes. Okay. Woo! Yeah. I love this. I love how it just kicks in.
This will show you the current mesh with all the nodes. I'm disappointed in many people.
Me too. All the time. Just in general. People suck.
Including myself.
Oh, okay.
Because there's many people who have not updated to the latest version and are still stuck on versions as old as 0.6.
Yeah, let's shame some people. Chad F. 0.6. That's right. Dave Remote Nix 1. Dot That's 9. Edebris.
Edebris. Edebris works.
Edebris. dot 6. Hey, citizen bathroom. Oh, you're current. Good. He's current. Who else do we need to shame here?
Hey, citizen bathroom. Podping West
or Libre dot 6. Come on,
Todd
people.
Todd Nova. Who's Todd Nova? I don't know Todd Nova.
But Temple OS laptop is dot 12 dot 1. That's
how is that even possible? Where Temple OS, where did you come from? This must be a fork. It's a fork.
It's a fork. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, Temple OS has forked something. I don't understand that, but the story here is that the most complicated part of this code of the new version of Podping was the DHT part. DHT stands for dynamic hash table.
Yeah.
And distributed hash table, not dynamic, distributed hash table. The distributed part means, so a hash table is just a set of key value pairs that are addressed it's a set of key value pairs where the indexes of the keys are addressed in a way that distributes evenly across the table. And then you can extend that with to where the hash table is not local. I'm given like the most roughest of thumbnail sketches here. You can distribute that hash table's keys across more than one machine. So typically a hash table would be loaded into RAM during like an initial program load for some software. And it may just be a lookup table. You may just have a bunch of keys and a bunch of values that you need to look up. Well, that lookup table can be split up into slices where keys or parts of the table are distributed amongst many different machines. And then you need some way to find out which machine has which values so that an index becomes also an address to where to find the machine that holds it.
Mm.
This is the core way that things like BitTorrent work.
Right.
And going back all the way to things like Napster, LimeWire.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, those were good times, actually. And many things use this. Well, the most widely used DHT is something called the mainline DHT, which is the BitTorrent DHT. And a lot of people just piggyback on this because it's got, you know, millions of nodes that are attached at any one time. Well, it's great. It's great for bootstrapping. So if you need to have like a mesh of nodes like Podping does, you need to have a bunch of computers that can coordinate with each other and send messages back and forth. Well, then you can use the DHT, the mainline DHT, to help them find each other.
Right.
So the way this worked was that when you brought up a Podping node, a Podping watcher, gossip watcher, or writer, or Podping monitor, whichever one you brought up, they all had this code in them. It would, the first thing it would do is check the DHT to see if there were any other nodes registered with the DHT. And then it would find, if it found some, it would use those as its bootstraps to try to go ahead and connect to as many of those as possible to get the mesh up and to get, you know, to join the mesh.
Right.
And this is good for a few reasons, because it avoids having the boot, you know, what's commonly referred to as like the bootstrap problem, where, you know, you have a node where you have to have certain, you have to have nodes online in order to find other nodes. And then how do they find each other? So this avoids that. But it's also very cumbersome and buggy because now the, because especially specifically with the way Eero works, because Eero does not have this functionality natively. So it's having to use libraries that, I'll be honest with you, I don't fully understand how they work.
Hmm.
These libraries are meant to make Eero discoverable over DHT. And it works, but it also brings in certain liabilities into the Eero connections and things. I could never get this stuff to be really stable. And so what I figured out was, I'm like, okay, well, now that the Podping gossip stuff is all stable and running at known locations on the 5 podping.cloud nodes, we really don't need the DHT anymore because we already know 5 good nodes that will always be, we know their keys because the Eero stuff uses a public key. So those public keys are stored and they will never change. So we have 5 known Bootstrap IDs that we can always use. And so why not just hard code those into the Podping watcher so that any watcher that comes up can just ping those 5 nodes and you're good.
And which are those 5 nodes? Does that include the one in the bathroom?
No.
Anything in the bathroom
is unstable by its nature.
I don't trust that one.
No. So the 5 nodes are the Podping Australia, Podping Central, East, Europe, and West.
Yeah.
Those are the 5 writers. So every Podping.cloud is distributed over 5 nodes. When you send an update to Podping.cloud, it round robins between all 5 of those nodes. And then each one of those is going to post it out through Hive and through the gossip channel at the same time.
Right.
So we're all going to get all of those.
Now, how many do we need to have a functioning system that we can start building on distributing the index? Good question, Adam. Yes, good question.
It's an unanswerable question.
Okay. I'll take it.
I mean, really and truly, because you could distribute the index reliably. I mean, with 7 or 8,
mm-hmm.
but then you're in the Hive situation where you have like 4 or 5 API servers that you can rely on.
It's not enough.
It doesn't make anybody sleep well.
What are the requirements when we get to that stage? Massive storage?
For the index?
Well, for the distributed index. I'm thinking ahead.
I don't think so, because if we're going to distribute it this way, to me the proper way to do it is to slice it so that no node has to be responsible for the entire index. I think you're going to have a mix where you're going to have some nodes that sign up for the whole index,
mm-hmm.
and some that just sign up for a portion of it. And this all has to be automated. You know, you have to be, we're brainstorming this right now. So
we're whiteboarding it, baby.
Yeah. Get your marker out.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a node that came online that said, okay, I've got this much disk space and I'm willing to donate, let's say 50 gigs mm-hmm. to hosting part of the index. Well, then the index is going to have to, the swarm will have to look and see what's available and then assign roughly the equivalent of 50 gigs to this particular node. And then register back with the API front end that node carries that data.
Here's a suggestion. I think you should make a Linode marketplace thing.
Okay.
So that it's just like a one-click install. You know what I'm talking about?
Sort of like the AWS marketplace.
Yeah, thing. Linode has that. They have a version.
I didn't know they had that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think so. Let me check. You use that. And you know, it requires understanding that weird scripting thing they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, stack script?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
Something stack?
Yeah, something like that. But just to make it easy for, you know, people like me.
I don't know that it's going to be very hard because, all this stuff's going into Docker Hub. So you could fire up a Podping Watcher right now with one Docker pull command.
Mm.
And I think that we can do this the same way in the other direction with the index distribution, because we can have just the index, let's just call it index, you know, runner or whatever we're going to call this thing. You just Docker run this image,
mm-hmm.
and it just pulls things down, and you give it some environment variables about how much data you have to spare. Where is it going to store the data? Like which directory, something, you know, like whatever. We just pass the configuration parameters and then it figures out it negotiates with the swarm how to do it.
Yeah.
How to distribute. And then it's just Docker. You know, I don't even think you have to run it. You could fire up a machine. I mean, you could do the marketplace thing, but.
Okay.
This all works in your house too, you know.
I know. Everything's in my house right now. My actual studio is warmer than it's ever been.
This and great timing. Perfect time of year to make your studio warmer.
I'm running like that Helix box, man. That's an awesome little machine.
Is it working good for you?
Yeah. I'm learning a lot about lease times of GPU and sharing and iGPU.
IGPU. What is IGPU?
IGPU is where you set up a GPU in VRAM, which isn't actually a GPU.
Oh, it's like a virtual GPU?
Virtual, yeah. So I got a GPU, an IGPU, and then a lease plan that shares, and there's watchers and waiters and batchers, and because I got a lot of stuff going on. So,
you do.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on here. I'm running a whole fleet of radio stations, man.
Yeah, it's I can't wait for people to see the stuff that you're cooking up. It's really cool.
If they get the Godcaster app, they already can. They can already check it out.
Just don't ever buy server hardware.
Ooh. What do you mean?
Oh, I had to price for day job stuff this week. I had to price out some memory for a server an HP server.
Oh yeah.
The server cost $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
The RAM
$14,000.
Also $12,000.
Oh yeah. That's crazy.
It was 64 gigs of ECC RAM was $6,000.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
5 years ago, that was less than $1,000.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's no good.
It's out of control.
It's no good. It's price gouging. Everyone's price gouging. They love it.
Well, I read an article yesterday that said that all available RAM from all manufacturers is already fully sold out through 2027.
Wow.
RAM that has not even been built yet.
We're in the wrong business.
Yes.
Every single time.
Yes, we are.
So yeah. I had an interesting experience the other day. I was listening to This Week in Bitcoin. No, This Week in Bitcoin. Chris.
And did he talk about the cold card stuff at all?
Yeah, of course. Of course he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And so I'm listening, and then he says, you know, boost me. And he, and I haven't listened for a couple of weeks. You know, death in the family stuff.
Yeah. Huh?
And so and he says, go to boost. What is it? Linuxunplug.com. Is that their website?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. And so, you know, he has a whole beautiful interface there. You can determine your amount in dollars or sats. And it was really just two clicks. And then I could pay right away from my Strike wallet on the same device. With a message, the whole thing, perfect. Of course, next week I'll find out if it came through. But then I saw in, I was looking in the Godcaster app.
Okay.
He's using his funding tag for the same mechanism. You know, it says donate or support the show, donate the show. And I was just like, you know, it's really a beautiful mechanism that we're just not highlighting enough in the apps. When you put a big button there on the podcast, when you're listening to the podcast, the same, you know, right there where you got the skip forward, backward, pause, you put a right. big donate, support the show. That's as per the spec, you can determine what that says. It's like, okay, you know, and you can even, if you want, you can click on Apple Pay. I don't have Apple Pay, but this particular interface, you know, the website or whatever it was that loads has it. I mean, it's just so simple. So simple. But the funding button is not prevalent everywhere. Not the way we did Boosts.
Well, that's the Buzzsprout model. They sort of created that
for their customers,
that page. Yeah. That page, yeah. That single page experience that can open in a web view.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's so simple.
It's so easy.
Yeah. I just think it's worth considering for the app developers out there to really highlight that button. If someone's got a funding tag, make it pop.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Now I know Daniel J. Lewis was working on all kinds of, my eyes started to glaze over as we're going through, how can we use Stripe to be able to get the podcast apps a piece of the action? I'm not even sure it's resolved yet, but I really like the work. I like that, you know, that we're delving into it, long conversation thread.
Mm-hmm.
James jumped in. I'm not sure if we resolved anything there. If we can set it so that the app that you're boosting from, donating from, etc., can automatically get a piece of the action.
I don't know why PodPage doesn't do this. I mean, wouldn't that be just a natural place for a thing like this to exist? For a page like this to exist?
Not quite sure what you mean.
Like, if you host a site on PodPage, why would they not have a single page payment portal that you can store in the funding tag?
But the thing, you can build it from anything. I mean, you know, you can have your robot build it. I mean, anything can be done. What is this? Onlyboosts.social. Look at this.
What does that mean?
Check it out. Who built this? Onlyboosts.social. Yeah, there's a link in the boardroom.
Only, is this supposed to be like OnlyFans?
Is it Only Boost? Yes, it's Only Boost. This is very interesting. Look at this. Well, this is cool. Is Eric PP? Did you do this?
What is this?
Well, let me see. Let me boost this show. Boost opening. Boom. Oh, Noster. Okay. Sign in with Noster. You lost me. But the idea is, cool. I like the idea. I don't want to sign in with Noster.
Speaking of, hey, hang on just a second. Yep. Okay, I'll be right back.
Okay. In the meantime, I will just let me see who did this. Reed. Oh, the only I just got stuck on the Noster bit. It's like what I want there is I just want copy this invoice or whatever, or, you know, send this through my Strike wallet and I'm done. That would be the way to do it.
Okay, bye. Okay. Sorry, bye. My wife's going out of town.
Oh, well, that was a very quick goodbye. Do you want to take a few more minutes?
I mean, if you're going to give me time, I don't need long.
Well, go say goodbye to her.
I'm kidding. That was a joke. A few minutes would do it, probably.
Three.
Yeah. No, she's fine. She just, he was heading out the door and saying bye. The boardroom says bye.
Hi, Melissa.
What is it? So what you found out what this is? Only boosts? Is this like a Nostra thing?
Well, it's the right idea. It asked me for a Nostra login right away, and then I kind of give up.
Have you heard of Buzz?
No.
Let me see if I can find this Jack Dorsey.
Oh, yes, I have. Well, is
the agent communication thing?
Yeah. Are you moving on to a new topic?
No, I'm not. I was just the Nostra thing reminded me of it. I just thought that you got your robots doing a whole bunch of stuff. Maybe Buzz would help you.
Yeah, you know, it's like I need another robot to look after the robots. This reminds me of when I had a lot of money and I had houses and I had people looking after the houses. Then I had people to look after the people looking after houses. And then then those people would get in fights with the accountant. And the whole thing sucked. It sucked. Yeah. I literally had three terminal windows today open and all three are doing something and I'm watching all three and I'm bopping between each one of them, giving them different instructions. I'm like, this is hard. That's
why you need the Buzz thing.
I don't know.
Let them coordinate it themselves.
Ever since the robot sent an email to you on behalf of me, I've become very cautious with robots controlling robots.
That was funny.
That was not funny.
It was funny to me, and I knew it would not be funny to you. One of your agents sent me an email, and I was like, and the part that made me chuckle was that it said thanks Adam.
No, it said, thanks M-dash Adam.
And I was like, wait a second, somebody has hacked Adam's email. This is not him.
Oh man.
Yeah. This all comes back to, I've been going through the process of shutting down our Lightning node this week.
Yes.
And, whoo, boy,
that's tough.
It's intense.
Yeah.
This LND is not for mortals.
No.
This is a thing that was created by a bunch of computer science nerds. And it has taken about a week just to shut down or just to close all the channels.
Yeah.
It's going to be another 10 days roughly before we can actually take the whole thing offline to try to get, you know, cause I'm racing the clock because I don't want to pay another $200 and something.
$240
voltage fee. So we had to force close some channels. We had
we had tons of channels.
40?
Yeah.
140 channels?
Yep. Yep. And it turns out LND is just not built for that.
It can't. So the only way for mildly technical people to manage an LND node is to use a UI tool, something like Ride the Lightning or something.
Yeah, but that wouldn't even load on ours.
But it won't load because our database is so humongous.
Yeah.
That it's completely unusable.
Yeah.
And it takes about 7 hours for our node to reboot.
I unlocked it, by the way. I saw it the other morning. So sitting there
unlocked. Oh, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you. So our database in LND is so large that nothing works. The only thing you can do is manage it through the LNCLI command line tool.
Yeah.
And so that means I have to go start researching how to do all this stuff through the LNCLI.
Yeah.
Finally, I just said, because it's it involves
close all.
It's like find some way to do a channel listing. Okay, you get that far. Now you have to go and copy and paste.
Yeah.
Copy out the channel
ID numbers.
A channel ID with an index, because some channel you can have multiple channel IDs with the same the same hash, but with different indexes. And so I had to go through and you know, you got to find those and put them in. Finally, I just said, you know, why am I doing this? And so I just vibe coded a thing. I said, give me a script.
here's your macaroon. Go.
Yeah. No, I'm like, no, you can't have the macaroon. This cookie is not for you, but I want a script where I can stick in the macaroon, and I just want a script. I want to be able to give a number. I want a script where I can give it a count and say close the five or X number of lowest capacity channels. Just do it. And because sometimes the channel is offline or it's online, and if it's offline, you're going to have to force close it.
Yeah.
So I got this little script and I start running this thing. So it's closing, it's cooperatively closing online channels. It's force closing channels that are offline. And that's what I've been doing for roughly a week. Sometimes LNCLI will lock up and never respond.
I know. This we should have known this when they said just boost bigger amounts. We should have known back then that this was never really engineered for micropayments the way we envisioned it. And really the only way that this Lightning Network actually works is if you have a couple channels with huge capacity to other nodes with a couple channels with huge capacity.
Yeah.
That's the only way it works. And it works quite well, actually, when you do that. Like Strike, you know, works great, but you know, we understand what's going on in the background.
And classic us move is way too early.
That's my brand, baby.
It's your brand. Yes. You just need a t-shirt that says I was too early.
Yeah, but this. So I think I sent you a whole document about the 400X protocol that Cloudflare is, was behind with their stablecoin Gambit.
Yeah,
you watch. You watch. That's going to take off, and it won't take off with us. But it'll take off because it's going to be all AI agents running around doing little micropayments with each other. And it's going to be kind of the same idea. But we're still obviously stuck with the brain problem that people have of Bitcoin, stablecoin, whatever it is, coin, any other coin than their own currency. It's just difficult. And I'm just going to keep asking for the funding tag button to be big on the apps. It works. And you know, I'd love to figure out how we can get the apps a part of that money. That was the beauty of what we had built. The splits. That was the beauty of it. And I just don't know if we can ever get that together.
I think so. I think we can. I think the problem was a philosophical disconnect between what we envisioned Lightning to be and what the Lightning Bitcoin ecosystem envisioned Lightning to be. You know, we saw the world a specific way. And that's actually not the way they saw it.
No.
And that's not a technical problem. That's a worldview problem. And their stuff. I can send a payment right now from Cash App to Strike using Lightning, and it works fine. And that's fine. If that's what they want, that's fine. But like self-sovereign low fee payments, that works only in a very specific circumstance with a highly technical individual or group with lots of available financial resources.
And time, lots of time.
And time. It's not for, it's just never going to be sufficient for your average, I just want to get paid, I just want to get paid podcaster.
Yeah.
But a platform like a Fountain or a True Fans or something like that, that they can do those things. They can. But our vision, me and you, our vision was just that a podcaster could just turn this stuff on.
Yeah. Yeah. That as also our brand. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, you can do it. Just go. This is it has to be doable by the average Joe in his kitchen.
Yeah. And also for the average listener who wants to support.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always been the issue is how do I do this? I've helped so many. I have people calling on the phone crying. I really want to support the show, but I don't understand how to get the stats from here to there and back into this. And it's so complicated. I want to be a part of the future. And now that they hate me now. They don't talk to me anymore.
Well, I'm really happy that there's a bunch of people in the boardroom saying, you know, my notes still works great. All this kind. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I think that is, I want, because the theory of all this stuff still works.
Mm-hmm.
It works fine. If Sir Spencer and Chad F and, you know, Eric PP and Salty Crayon, if all these people have, if they have lightning nodes and they're, you know, sending each other money, that's fine. Great. It works.
Yeah, it does.
But it works, but you can't get your average, you know, baby boomer at church.
No,
onboarded with this thing, it can't happen. It doesn't mm-hmm. work.
Well, Daniel J. Lewis says that he may have something for us soon, within a week or two. Okay, I can wait. I can wait for a week or two.
That'd be great. But I think everybody needs to do this. True, Sam at True Fans, you need to have this page. You know,
I don't see the page as being the problem. I mean, there's lots of systems that let you set up a page, you know, with different options.
But the content has to come first, you know. The page has to exist. Then the apps see that everybody is starting to adopt this page, and that is the impetus for them to put the big button.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, I have a page right now. I have a page for get to do this. I have a page. No Agenda has a page. It's in the boost, in the funding tag. It's in there, I think.
Let me double check.
I think it goes to noagendadonations.com, which is exactly where I want it to go.
Agenda show.
Let me check. I'm pretty sure.
It always cracks me up, the little button on Podcast Index with the pig and the coin. Piggy bank.
Noagendadonations.com.
Yeah,
support the show. Boom. Noagendadonations.com. That's what I want. That's all. Donate with PayPal, Stripe, Bitcoin. It's all there. Donate through the P.O. box. It's perfect. Looks nice. Looks beautiful.
Well, if I can get the node fully shut down, so we have, there's three channels left. One, the force close should be settled by now, probably. It's probably already done. There's another one that's going to take about another 3 days, and there's one that's going to take like 9 days to settle the force close transaction. Once those are done, I should be able to fully shut the node down, and then we can
work on this.
And then I'll take that money. Excuse me, not take the money. Excuse me, the
and run
the I'm out. there's a virtual machine that's actually pretty sizable. I need to see how big that thing is, but it's not insignificant. I think it may be an 8 gig Linode machine that does nothing but node management of our node.
Oh yeah, okay.
And so then that will recover that money as well.
Okay.
And then. I think that is probably enough to cover the bigger database.
We'll have to figure that out. And so I'm looking at Pod News Weekly Review. Support this podcast. It goes to the Buzzsprout page. Power supporter. And now I don't like what I'm seeing, but it's okay. I mean, it says become a monthly supporter. What if I just want to pay a huge support $3 a month? If you ask for tips, you're going to get tips, brothers. There's no open donation.
Eric said, how should we boost you and Adam from now on? I've already changed our splits. It's all going to the podcast index at getalby.com. So we're just going to switch everything to the Alby hub.
Yeah. Because it's so small anyway. Now, of course, my start nine isn't working anymore.
Why? What happened?
I don't know. I went to open up Helipad and the Tor doesn't connect. I rebooted the box. Tor doesn't connect. Nothing. I don't know. I have to figure it out now. I didn't have time to fix it before the show. You know, it's probably because they jumped on the knots thing and it probably screwed up the whole node. Do you follow any of that?
BIP 110.
BIP 110 and start 9. I was like, yeah, we're all for this. So the node probably broke. I don't know what happened.
Is knots a dead thing now?
I don't know. It didn't work out. That's all I know. Okay. It was a lot of noise for something that didn't work out.
Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you got anything else on that, or I can switch gears?
No, you can switch gears.
We probably need... I want to talk about...
First of all, you're buzzing. What's buzzing?
It's me?
Yeah, you're buzzing. Yeah, let me check.
I did nothing.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, there's a USB cable near your mic cable.
I've done nothing.
Okay, it's gone now. Yeah, you're just like Dvorak. No, nothing changed. Move this around.
All I did was put some chocolate by my keyboard.
Oh, there it is. Stop it with the chocolate.
It's got lead in it.
Okay.
Spotify skip ahead button.
Oh, well, yes, this is exactly where I wanted to go, but I was leaving it up to you, and I would like to give everybody the quote of the week. The quote of the week comes to you from the Pod Sage. I quote verbatim. I look at what AMP wants podcast app developers to do in support of advertisers. Then I look at what podcast app developers are actually doing with advert skipping. One of those will win out. And it isn't the one that requires tons of first-party data collection, reporting, and the taking on of privacy liabilities. Was signed Dave Jones, August 7th, 2026.
Undersigned. Dave.
Move the chocolate, because that buzz is back. Move the chocolate.
I did nothing.
I'm telling you.
I haven't even eaten. I've not even eaten the chocolate.
It's always a USB cable that does this.
I mean, I can
like, just move the cable.
I'm just gonna get look
there. That yeah, perfect. Do it live.
Yeah, I just whacked the Rodecaster.
Stop the hammering.
What kind of chocolate this is? I don't know. It has no. It's generic chocolate.
It has natural flavors.
Chocolove is what it's called.
Chocolove?
Chocolove.
Spell this for me. Chocolove.
Chocolove. Chocolove. Chocolove.
That is our show title. Perfect.
And right under it, it's got XOXO.
Chocolove, baby. Yeah.
There's a rapper out there named Chocolove. Yeah. That's 100% the case.
Word.
So... Yeah, like people are losing their mind about the Spotify skip ahead button. This is inevitable.
Well, first of all, I'm in the secret WhatsApp group. It's really secret.
I love that you're in this. Like you can relay.
I can't believe they haven't kicked me out yet. I mean, I'm just a lurker. And in the secret WhatsApp group, so there was kind of a lead up to this. So first we had Podtastic, right? Remember Podtastic?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then came Castria, which sounds a lot like castration. I don't know why
that's a terrible name for an app.
Yeah, Castria. And I think they all kind of do the same thing. It's like, you know, it downloads the show and then it gives you opportunities to skip. And what was interesting is in the WhatsApp group, when I think it was Castria, when that came out, the Cridler went nuts. He's like, this is bad. This is an outrage. And he filed a copyright violation against them in the app stores because they're infringing on copyright, which I actually don't think they are.
Is it like maybe an international thing difference?
No. The idea that it's changing, it's changing your material, but whatever.
If they're rehosting it, there's an argument there.
But rehosting it on the app?
Yeah.
No, that you down
it's all local.
You down? Yeah, I think so. But it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. All right.
But the outrage was just off the charts. And then Spotify comes out with pretty much the same thing. And it was like, we've got to look at this. What are they doing? But I didn't see anyone filing any copyright claims against the Spotify app. So I just thought that was interesting. And then subsequently...
Well, the Spotify app, in their defense, they just have a button. The other app does it automatically.
Okay. So this goes to what I've been saying for months. And I think you just said it is unavoidable. It is the future because everybody now can vibe code their own thing.
Yeah.
It may take you 8 weeks to get it approved through the app store, the way things are going, but this is the future. And I used to get really upset just by the fast, the 2x, 3x speed. Because to me, that was I felt violated. Like I put all this effort in to make everything sound good. I put in pauses. John and I would have pauses that were purposeful, meaningful, and intentional. And, Overcast cuts them out. I felt my art was violated, but I gave up because, I give you the show. You do whatever you want with it. And this is where all applications are going. All applications will be completely user-defined. I know because I'm already doing it myself. I don't have to use your stupid Outlook. I created my own spreadsheet viewer, and it works the way I want it to. And I just did it by telling the robot to build something, and it built it. Boom, done. So this is going to happen. This is unavoidable. And people do not care in general. First of all, most people think that the app is putting the ads in. They don't even realize that it comes from the podcasters. I hear this all the time.
Yes.
Hey, man, this Podverse app you keep telling me to use, it's putting ads in, man. No, that's actually not the app. That is from the podcaster. When someone pays a premium for YouTube, as an example, now YouTube, of course, is very separate because they sell the ads. But you don't get to, as a producer, you don't put in your own dynamically inserted ads. YouTube does all that for you. So YouTube then gives you, I think, 45% of a subscription fee for that second that someone apparently listened, and so there's some kind of compensation. But when people pay for an ad-free experience on Spotify, they expect an ad-free experience, including dynamically inserted ads, which is really where it all went wrong. It all went wrong with the dynamically inserted ads. And people, funny enough, it's tolerated, it's a part of culture. We've had ads in our face all this time. But no one really likes them, even though they're helpful and they don't even realize how it works. But ultimately, the way computing is going with local LLMs and scripting capabilities that you can just ask your phone or your computer to make something, people are going to do it. You can't stop it. It's like ad blockers. The ad blockers are just a thing. And no one even thinks twice about them. This is going the way of blogs. It just will.
The blog analogy is probably the best one I've heard. Nobody or very, very few people can make... The only people making money off blogs are people who... Or blogs that take paid subscribers.
Well,
like on a Substack or a Stratechery or one of those.
Substack is genius. Substack is genius because they make it possible for, it's kind of an, although you can say this is only for subscribers, which don't feel like it. But once you've supported one of the Substacks, then it's just one click. Then it's just like, I want to support this guy with $8 a month. Click, one click, done. And it just runs until you look at your credit card statement, like, why am I supporting this guy again? But to me, it's still the open value for value system is still the best. It still is the best way to do it. It's just, it's not for everybody. And we still have this mentality of old school. There's 24 hours in a day. There's 60 minutes in an hour. We're going to allocate 5 minutes of that hour towards commercials. It's a linear system. It just doesn't really work, except at huge scale, which is where Google wins.
I think along those same lines. I mean, it shows the skip ahead button thing shows how much more valuable premium subscribers are than ad support. I mean, ad revenue can generate large numbers on paper, but when it comes to profit, I've yet to see that it's very profitable in the digital age. You know, it works for things like Google and Facebook because they own the entire stack.
Yeah, including the ads there on the ad sales side.
Yeah, they're selling the ads and displaying the ads and have all the users and have all the advertisers and have all the businesses. They it's a closed ecosystem.
And we still don't actually know if they're even profitable.
Exactly. That's exactly because YouTube never breaks out their profit.
Nope. And they've never spun YouTube off as a separate business, which is an obvious thing to do.
Yes. They fit. So Spotify feels like giving their paying subscribers the ability to skip ads. They feel that's worth it to keep the paying subscribers paying over what they would lose from the ad revenue.
Yeah.
So you do this calculation and you say, okay, well, if I do this button, I'm going to lose a certain amount of ad revenue. I'm going to make a certain amount of people angry, but I am willing to lose that because the risk of losing our premium users to YouTube, who also has this skip button, is too high. Because YouTube already has the skip button and has had it for a long time.
Right, so, but this isn't even about skip, man. This is about everything.
I agree, but it's like the interesting thing to me is Spotify. You go back to the AMP Accords, which I'm probably the only person that will ever still talk about the AMP Accords. Everybody else is moved on. But the AMP Accords, Spotify was supposedly in the room with the AMP people.
We can't confirm that because not everybody agreed to be publicly recognized.
They were on the list.
Yeah.
And then they turn around and do this.
Yeah.
they agreed to all these things. Yeah, we're all on board with the AMP thing. And then they turn around and do a skip button.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa. Yeah. That's just like rug pulling the hell out of everybody that was part of the AMP thing. It's clearly for the same reason that YouTube does it. My feeling is that YouTube makes way more money from premium subscribers than they do from advertising. So they use the fact that advertising is super annoying as the single primary driver to make you sign up for premium.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Advertising is only useful to these sorts of companies as a way to drive you to pay them cash on a monthly basis for premium subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly what you said. The old model of linear broadcasting there, honestly, okay, if you think about it, the only two advertising sort of advertising supported content delivery mechanisms that we've ever had fully advertising supported were broadcast television and broadcast radio.
Mm-hmm.
There were other ad supported mediums like newspapers and magazines, but they were not fully ad supported. You still had to buy a subscription. The advertising dollars for magazines and newspapers and those kinds of those were additional revenue for the publication.
But let us remember, where did the real revenue come from for newspapers?
Classified ads.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you had multiple revenue streams. The only two things that were ever fully supported by advertising only were broadcast, linear broadcast radio and television. And those, like you said, the inventory constraint, the scarcity of the number of hours in a day,
yep,
made that a workable model. But that just is that those days are gone.
Gone. Dead.
Gone.
She's dead, Jim. Hey, by the way, my Start 9 just came alive.
Oh.
How about that? All channels are closed. Hey, those bastards at Podcast Index closed my channel.
Your Start 9 is like, we're so back. Wait, what? Yeah, so this is inevitable.
But just go beyond it, because if you look at what Castratia did...
Castradia.
Let me see. Castria podcast app. Because it had some other interesting features that I thought were okay. Here, Castria app. Oh, it hasn't been taken down yet. I wonder why. Okay, so they sell it as the Castria app skips the ads in every podcast view automatically, 100% free. Plus, and here it is. AI summary, searchable transcripts, tap to jump topics, offline listening. It's starting to do things that I'm interested in. Just a simple example. Every Friday, now I have more time on my hands for some reason, but every Friday.
How's that?
Every Friday, I want to get the latest from Pod News Weekly Review. I just have my robot. My robot knows, hey, it's time for podcasting 2.0. Okay. All right. I'm going to go look at all of Dave's posts on the index. I'm going to go look at JS because Sporlock always has interesting things to look at. It looks at my bench of articles I've saved. And then it goes and gets the transcript from, actually it does its own transcript. So it gets Pod News Weekly Review, gets the transcript. And then looks for things that I'm interested in, and it cross-references the topics that you're talking about and Spurlock is talking about. It surfaces those, and it gives me a little clip to listen to. I mean, come on. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And I just dreamt it up. The dream build loop is phenomenal.
The current state
Eric PP. Yes. Today's two witty openers were literally written by the robot. I was surprised myself.
The way that these things are right now, I'm guessing Castria is vibe coded. I'm assuming that it is.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
I wonder
maybe
who's I'm behind wrong. It.
This is a knowing thing. I don't know.
I wonder who's behind it. I wonder who's vibe coding a lot. I wonder who created that app.
So the current state of them boils down to all these ad skipping apps boils down to this. If you want an app that randomly removes parts of the podcast that you're listening to, grab one of these apps.
Yeah.
Because right now they are completely all over the map. They will just pull entire sections of the episode out that are not ads, but because they think it is. And you'll just randomly find parts missing. So but that's always the first level, the first go. These things will get better over time. They always do. And in a few years, this is ad skipping is just going to be the way this stuff works, man.
Yeah.
Everything is going to do it. Everything's going to do it. Your baked in ad. Sorry. It's not going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. So well, I don't know what the answer is. This was always the problem with the Ampicords and with all these discussions is the more ads you bake in. I listened to a couple of iHeart Radio podcasts. One of them is Better Offline. The
Ed Zetron.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That thing is covered with ads.
Yeah.
It's eaten up with ads. The ad load on iHeart, the ad load is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always funny to me because their tagline for iHeart podcasts is guaranteed human, but like a good 50% of the ad reads are AI generated, obviously. So those things are covered up with ads. Acast podcast covered up with ads. This is an industry that's just shooting itself in the foot.
Yeah. Like they always do.
Always.
But I'm not sad about it, honestly. I'm not. I get everything I want. I pay for things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I support stuff. That's how it works for me. And all this other stuff is just, it's in the way, man. It's in the way. And, you know, we have an extra 500,000 podcasts that have been created that very few listen to that have all been vibe coded and text to speech created. It's all useless. And you know what? Podcasters themselves are idiots. The whole idea.
How do you really feel?
Yeah, I'm going to break it down for you. Let's dive in.
Deep dive.
Deep dive. Let's do a deep dive. You know, Tina used to listen to the Megyn Kelly podcast. And then Megyn Kelly went video. And then she would watch the Megyn Kelly podcast on YouTube. And then, of course, what you do is you create, you know, your little segments and you post that in the shorts or you create, you know, a 14-minute segment of a certain guest. And then she only watches that. I mean, you're shooting yourself in the foot. And you know, this whole HLS video, I love it, man. I love that it technically works. But even on, I don't know the exact details, but with RSS.com, okay, you're not starting off free. You have to get the max plan. And I'm not sure if there are limitations. They may have none because those guys, they've got some magic voodoo over there. Love them. Where it's like, oh, just do whatever you want. Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, everyone has to put some limits on the amount of accesses you can have of your HLS video. And it's just going to come down to, okay, what kind of money can I actually make on it to offset the cost versus throwing your crap up on YouTube or on X? I think X is actually going to, you watch with this X money thing. Elon's going to do something with that that's going to screw up YouTube big time.
You really think so?
Yeah, I do.
Everybody hates him so much, though.
But that's irrelevant. Money is money.
I can't tolerate X anymore. It's just, it's nothing but Russian car crash videos and Anthropic ads.
That's your algo. You have ads on X? I don't have any ads. I don't know what X ads you're talking about.
I mean, they're just native. Oh, they look like root posts. You know?
Sure. But people will, if you have a link to your podcast and it's video, it won't be audio, it's video, and it's on X, and you can click a button with your X money. Hey, I got $25 free from Elon for just signing up for X money. I got $25. I love Elon. He's a great guy.
I love that guy.
You know, I don't see it. It's, none of it makes any sense. And ultimately, the audience is in control. The audience is in control. And RSS and podcasting, the way it was created, was completely the antithesis of what it's trying to be shoehorned into.
Well, I think you're right. It all started with dynamic ad insertion.
That's where it screwed it up.
That was the beginning of what will ultimately become a medium that is forced into subscription support.
Yeah, but that is so limited.
When I say subscription support, that was a mistake. I should have said direct audience support.
Okay, yeah, that's different. Because subscription support, yeah, if you have 100,000 people and you can convert 10,000 of those to a dollar a month, boom, you know, that's a living. But you got to get to that 100,000 first. You don't do that by saying, well, if you really want to hear the good stuff, the premium content, give me a break. No, I'm a broadcaster from the old days. You know, it's got to be free to air. People got to be able to access it. And then you just have to tell them like, hey, you know, if you don't support us, we go away. And it works.
Well, the Bitcoin Lightning ecosystem wedged itself into a hole where it went. It's like, okay, we're going to take what could have been a support mechanism layered on top of podcasting, an open podcasting, open source all the way down, and decided through, I don't know, VC or something driven mechanics to bifurcate this whole, you know, Lightning into two systems. Over here on, we're going to have Noster Zaps and we're going to have podcasting boosts.
Yeah, exactly. The best thing,
blah, blah, blah.
The best thing about it was Bitcoin. The worst thing about it was Bitcoin. It was the best and the worst of both things.
But now I think, So now it's making itself irrelevant, and then so what we're left with is like forcing podcasting in like what am I trying to say?
I don't know. What are you trying to say? Say something.
I think what we were trying to do, we were trying to build a system on top of podcasting that was also open, that would allow everybody to get paid.
Yeah, including the apps.
Right. And so now that is still the goal.
Yeah.
Because if we look into the future of a time when advertising is blocked at the app level across the board, there has to be some other mechanism in place to allow value for value to continue to support podcasters and their, for them to make a living. And I think that what we're left with is things like X402, funding tag, you know, the, I don't know, some sort of stable coin thing. I don't know. There's other mechanisms in play.
Well, the funding tag just works for me. And it was really our own app where I discovered, oh man, this is just so easy. It has a big button right there. Support this show. Click. Opens up. Okay. Oh, Stripe. Well, I'm already somehow, it has my information already. I don't know if that's through Shopify or something else. I'm not sure how that got in there, but okay. Yeah. So it stored my payment method and I just pay with a message. And, you know, I've been doing this for We Get to Do This. It's so beautiful. So we have Stripe and PayPal. And Stripe has Apple Pay. It's got all Venmo. It's all, no, PayPal is part of Venmo. Or Venmo is part of PayPal. Everything is covered. Everything. And I built my own helipad. I said, robot, I need to have a spreadsheet before every show. Robot went, okay, Adam. I need some tokens for the API. Here's how you get them. Okay. Make sure it's read only, Adam. Okay. Uh-huh. And I give it the tokens in an env file and it builds a spreadsheet for me. It's beautiful. It has the comments. It goes into my email, checks for any comments that were sent to notes@wgtdt.com, pulls them out, puts them in. I mean, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The world has changed. Right. The world is changing so rapidly. And if I can do it, other people can do this too.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Only the blessed, but otherwise.
The blessed. Yeah. I'm not. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for the future of creators having a way to, for podcasters have a way to get paid value for value. And that's open, especially, and one thing that gives me hope is the most recent Apple, court.
Yeah.
Stuff like within the last couple of days.
Yeah.
They've essentially, if you're watching, if you're keeping track of this, they've admitted that fees are too high, that they shouldn't have charged. If you read between the lines, they're saying that they should have charged zero.
Yeah. But just a response to Chad F. Yes, Chad, okay. F. Podverse has a funding tag, but it's a little icon with a dollar sign on a coin going into a slot. You know, that's obscure to me. Like, I need, because I got a big play button, a big live button. I've got a big unsubscribe. It's easy to unsubscribe, but it's not easy to pay. Right under the unsubscribe, put donate. That's my point. Yes, it's there, but I can't tell everybody for every app, go and look for this. Go and look for the little icon of a coin with a dollar sign on it, people.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point. It's a user experience issue. It's not a technical issue.
So what I'm trying to say is I have a hope that there's alternatives beyond Lightning, and they seem to be all easy to adopt. We just have to make sure, which has been our thing from the very beginning, we have to make sure that the app gets a cut.
Yep. That is the way to success.
You have to. If another system crops up where only the creator and the hosting companies get paid, and the advertising agencies, if only those people get paid again, well, then it's a failure.
And Daniel J. Lewis, don't tell me not to use the word donate. That's not true. I've been using that for 19 years on No Agenda. We say donate. So don't tell me that we need to stop using that word.
I think there's a couple of things that I want to talk to. We probably want to talk about this next week, and I want to cover I was going to talk about it today, but I think I want to talk about it next week because I need time. I want to throw together some rough ideas first. Alberto from RSS.com reached out to me about adding a new public data set to the index.
Interesting.
With all the location tags that we have.
Okay.
And so what his thought is that if we have a public data set of all the location tags, that we could build an atlas or some other tool like the same way that was done for Podroll. So basically a huge discovery mechanism based on that data set.
For geolocation in apps.
For geolocation, yeah, for like where, because he was giving examples. I haven't really even looked at that data in a long time. He was giving examples of some really interesting location tags that he's finding in podcasts.
Well, they have in RSS.com in their publish interface, the publish dashboard, they give you two location tag options. You can use both. What is this about and where is this recorded?
Yes.
That's great. I love that.
And some of the things that he was mentioning in his note to me were really cool. You know, like some, if I remember right, it was like a church in the side of a mountain in Italy or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really neat. I mean, and so I think we can use, I think he's right. We need to make this more easily accessible to people. So I'm game to do this, and I want to get a rough data set up first next week And I'll have a location for it on the show next week. And then if other people have ideas about, then once people see it, they could give feedback on how they would change, you know, if it needs changes or change, whatever.
That's a good idea. It's also good for people who want to start a podcast. Where is something missing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
kind of like the way they do with categories. It's like, what is a niche category?
Yeah. And I'm all about hyperlocal. I mean, that's still the way to go. Hyperlocal podcasting is dynamite. Lots of people are doing it. They have a lot of fun. They're not doing it for money necessarily, but they are often supported by their local community. Mm-hmm. And we have the North Idaho, North ID podcast, so NOID, I can't remember the name of it. They're kind of doing a local no agenda for their area of Idaho. And it's super popular. Huh. Yeah. This is where you can still have a lot of success, where everything, the whole podcast industrial complex pushes everybody towards volume. Gotta have more volume.
Grow your show.
Grow your show. R.I.P. Todd. Yeah.
And then the other thing was the podcast contact tag. I'm high on this thing. I still think it's
a good idea. Yeah.
I do too. Can somebody, Daniel, you're busy. Can somebody write this up as a PR?
I think Daniel already did a lot of this work with Sanfilippo.
No, yeah, he did, but I would like to have it as a pull request.
Yeah, so but don't distract the child from the good work he's already doing. He's working on the splits with
that's why I said he's busy.
Stripe, but you put it out there.
Okay, Daniel, when you're done with the Stripe thing, then do that. Or if somebody else wants to do it, somebody else can do it. But don't get distracted.
Yeah, please don't. Squirrel, I'm going to run over here.
I think it's a great idea, and I think it needs to move forward.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you. Big time.
What is the podcast contact tag again? Oh, that's just all the different ways that you can contact the podcaster. So, or the show in question.
Yes.
So, you know, it's, let me see if I've got, maybe I have a link to it. Let me see. Copy. Yes, I do. Here we go. Here you go. Eric in the boardroom, right there. That will tell you everything you need to know.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think those two things probably are important. Probably something again for next week would be the podcast image tag. I have an idea for using that for custom app icon delivery.
I mean, just have your app resize it on the fly.
Yeah, but this is this is an example of a method of using it. Yeah, but well, we can talk about this next week. I know we're running low on time.
Well, let us thank some people for supporting the Podcast Index and the entire project that it is. We're repurposing machines now. That's what it's come down to.
Yeah.
But we really appreciate everybody who supports us. Value for value. We've got a donate button. Oh my God. We're not a nonprofit. We've got a donate button at the bottom of our page, podcastindex.org. You are supporting the lifeblood of Podcast Index. Adam and Dave get none of this. We put it into the kitty and it supports all of the machines and everything that is running to keep this going with some room to spare. So we appreciate it as you continue to support. Every single dollar makes a difference. Even $5 buys us one of our little mini servers for a month. So we appreciate all of you. And I unfortunately have no way of looking at anything past 1 week ago on Helipad.
Why?
Because my channel's closed. 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry. 2 weeks ago. Yeah. This
but it still
sucks.
Should be in the helipad. Yeah. What thing sucks?
Yeah, start 9. No, it closed two weeks ago. So I only have.
Oh, I see.
The last. I have a True Fans four sats. So that was a streaming payment for episode 266. And I don't have anything else. It goes. Then it's 2 weeks ago. So you probably have more accurate information than I have.
Well, let me do. I'm not sure I'm going to have much more accurate information than you do. I've got. I extracted the Albi hub data, and it was like there's nothing there.
No, I don't understand. Everyone's given up on us.
I guess.
Those guys. Yeah. Well, Comic Strip Blogger is the last of the Mohicans. Him, yeah. Yes.
The last book. DC Girl said that she sent us a comment and I can't find it. I'm going to have to get her to resend it. We got some PayPals. We got a bunch of them actually. Chris Bernardic, $5.
Thank you.
Dreb Scott, $15. Thank you, Dreb. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Charles Hicks, $5. Let's see. Is this a one-off? No, it says... Paul De Bruin. Yeah, this is a one-off. $10. Great job you were doing, he says.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, thank you, Paul. Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron.
Nice.
Let's see. This is the... Oh, this is from Ralph Estep, $50. Thank you, Ralph. Martin Lindeskog, $1. Thank you, Martin. Pod Page, Brendan Mulligan and Pod Page, $25. Thank you, Brendan. Joseph Maraca, $5. Thank you. Look what we got here. It's a one off from Blueberry. $100.
Nice. I'll give you a baller for that.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Nice. Thank you, boys and girls. Blueberry.
He says, from the guys and gals at Blueberry, not fringe anymore. Go podcasting. Not fringe.
Where is my go podcasting? Where did that thing go? That's interesting.
Let's see. We got... You lost your go podcast?
There it is. Got it.
Mitchell Downey, $50. Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you, Mitch.
Christopher Harbark, $10. A double from Mitch, $10. Damon Kasajak, $15. We got another one off. I don't know how to pronounce his name. $10 from Rerez Ion Petrescu. Okay. It's RARES-IOAN.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Terry Keller, $5, and I'm sorry for messing your name up. Silicon Florist, $10. Thank you. Christopher Cowan, $5. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. As always, Derry J. Visker. Derry J. Visker, the best name in podcasting, $21. Who's... Unal Kampolat, $5. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Jeremy Gerds, $5. And that's it. That's our PayPals.
And the proof is always in the pudding. You know, if I look at op3.dev, I'm going to look at how many people actually apparently download this show. I wouldn't say that they podcasting. 2.0. Let's see what OP3 says. We don't even show up on the list anymore.
We don't.
Here we go. We're page 4. Okay.
We suck.
Let me see. Here's an example. Let me see what we have. So the last 30 days is a bad example, of course, because we're missing two
shows.
We've been gone too long.
Yeah.
Let me go back to, that's June 1st. I mean, so we have 5,000 downloads in the last 30 days. You can't even get inserted ads with that amount of downloads.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's weak. It's too weak.
You know, so actually our downloads in July. Oh, in June. Here we go. June. Unique audience in June. Whatever Spurlock says is I'll take it as gospel. 5,721. Okay. We're running an entire index off of this with people just supporting us with value for value. That's my point.
It's amazing.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's how it works. That's the beauty of it. And we're just yapping. We're just catching up. you know, communities involved, and they support us. That's all that it has to be. Now, if we said we're closing it down, we need to have money to survive, people would support us or not.
Yeah, or they wouldn't, and we wouldn't survive.
Yeah, it's that simple. It's really that simple. That's just me.
Let me see. See control. We got. I reran. So I said that I would fix the Albi Hub export thing, and I mostly did.
Mm-hmm.
So I got. I got three. I just reran it again. I got three out of here, but for some reason I can't see the message that I think may be from Martin Lindeskog, or it might be from Sam. It's on True Fans, and I don't know what. Let me read the first two. We got three. One of them is from Fountain User 9401873488328, and he or she says, "Have some sats before AI steals them." It's 10,000 sats.
Nice, thank you.
Comic strip blogger is the delimiter, but I want to try to find this other one first, though. It's a True Fan. So if I take this URL, this boost URL from True Fans.
Yeah, and you hit it.
And if I copy it and paste it into a web browser, I was thinking that I would see the boost message. But what I see is just our page on True Fans.
No comment, no boost there.
I'm going to try to read the message out of the spreadsheet.
Out of the database.
Yes.
Get it from the table. Okay.
It says, "I will continue to stream Satoshis. Do you have a snail mail address? I would like to send you a symbolic silver coin.
Oh.
Someday in the cutoff.
Morning.
In the morning." Here's another one. Let me try this other one. This looks like the same message. This is fascinating. This is great stuff. Payment. See, because I hit the payment URL. Nothing. Let me paste this in the boardroom. Maybe somebody else can figure this out. That's the one I'm trying to read.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, it's Mr. Martin Lindisco. He says, he just posted it in. "I will continue to stream Satoshis. Do you have a snail mail address? I would like to send you a symbolic silver coin someday in the future."
Yeah, you got to go to the comments tab on that page. That's where it shows up.
Oh, so you got to click it and then go to the comments. Yes.
Do you have a favorite bullion coin? Yes, gold. "I have an artistic copper coin, not legal tender, with the Fibonacci sequence 011235, FYI. I got credited to my wallet on True Fans with the unused balance from my audio hosting subscription. The amount of Satoshis covered this boostergram." Well, I'm giving you a like. I'm giving you a like, a little heart.
Yeah, I'll do that too. Like.
Oh, I got to sign in.
Comic strip blogger.
There he is.
23,999 sats. He somehow made it happen.
Okay.
Even through all the lightning apocalypse. "Howdy, Dave and Adam. So, when Adam moved to Texas, before he met Tina the Keeper, aka his current wife, he had only one friend there, Gene. Coincidentally, that Gene just gave me epic interview about how to get rich off AI-generated music and tips on how to improve it. Watch Gene talking over 1 hour to me on YouTube. Just search for AI Arch Wizard. Yo, CSB, oh, Ozempic right. Taker.
Soon to be blind.
Soon pancreatic cancer victim."
Thank you, comics or blogger. We love, you know, I just need him in the "we get to do this" community, because then we know it'll take off. When comics or blogger arrives, that's when your community takes off. You need that guy. Yeah. Everybody needs a comic strip blogger. You need him. And there's it's nothing true. Like the original, the OG comic strip blogger.
The OG CSB?
You got to have the OG CSB. There's nothing quite like him. All right, everybody. Board meeting, boardroom. Thank you very much for being here once again. Sorry we missed 2 weeks. We should be good to go next week.
I'm good to go.
End of the month, I'm going back to the Netherlands, so I get to meet my granddaughter. And hopefully, I'm taking my rig, so we'll just have to figure out the times. But I think I can do the board meeting. I have a little more time on my hands these days, turns out.
Yeah, so, you do. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go install a carburetor.
You go do that. I'll have the beer. All right. Okay, everybody. Okay. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Thanks for being here once again for the board meeting where everybody's a star. Podcasting 2.0. See you next Friday.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! AOK.